down, that they can't be lifted up, too messed up, that they can't be fixed up, too filthy and dirty, that the blood of Christ can't wash them and make them clean. Because one Friday on a hill called Calvary, Jesus, he shed his precious blood to wash away our sin. And that's why I hear a songwriter saying, what can wash away all my sins? Or what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Christ. Somebody else wrote, the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. That blood that give me strength from day to day, it will never, no, never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that give me strength from day to day, it will never, I said never, lose its power. But not only did Jesus die for our sin, but after laying in the grave 3 days and three nights, it was bright early Sunday morning, he got up from that grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Ain't God all right? It's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, I don't have to live the wasted life. That's why my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. Ain't God all right? Do you know him this morning? Have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he lift you up when you fall down? Won't he save your soul from a burning hell? A life is a terrible thing to waste. We don't know how much time we have here on earth. When we go in the cemetery, there's some little short graves. And if you read on the tombstone, there are some young folk. Everybody in the graveyard not old, but there's some young folk in the graveyard. Some are there because of the fact that they were living a wasted life. Got killed or died because of some of the things that they were doing. But you don't have to do that. You have a chance. As long as life lasts, we have a chance. But once this little life, I call it little life because if you live to be 100, it's still, you can't compare it to eternity. Once it's over, that's it. I know that some of the Catholics say you can die and go to purgatory, and like going to jail, and the priest will pray you out after you go pay him a few dollars every once in a while. But my Bible don't say that. There's only two ways to go. You go to heaven or you go to hell. And once you go to hell, you can't get back out. And once you go to heaven, you don't want to get out. Like when Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man looked over and said, "Father Abraham, tell Lazarus, could he just come over here and put a little drop of water on my tongue? Because I'm being tormented down here." And Father Abraham said, "Son, even if he wanted to come, he can't come, because there's a great gulf between you and him. And the only one can bridge that gulf is Jesus Christ in our life." Will there be one this morning? Maybe you backslidden. And I want to say that, you know, that you can be in church and be backslidden and be lost. And that's why Jesus says, everybody who says unto me, "Lord, Lord," don't belong to me. A whole lot of folk going to come before me and say, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? And when he talking about preachers, he talking about people out in the pew. Have I not done many wonderful works and all that? Guess what Jesus say? Away from me. And he didn't say, well, I forgot your name. He said, I never knew you, meaning you never did belong to him. Are you with me?
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome word of God next week at the same time.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the Gospel in plain English.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joy Dara, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
Open your Bible to the book of Matthew. Chapter 17. We're going to read verse number 20. The book is Matthew, chapter 17, verse 20. If you find it, please say amen. Thanks to all of our guests in the house. We love you. We are grateful. Thank you for being here today. You're the one who made straight A's. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. The word of God reads, and Jesus said unto them, because of your what? Unbelief. Take note of that word. Then he goes on to say, verily, verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and the mountain shall remove. And then he concluded by telling them, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. While you're standing, let us pray. Father, we are grateful for the word of God. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence in the house. Let your anointing flow freely, unhindered and without any interruption. We ask for more of you and less of us. All of you and none of us. be glorified in this house. Let this day be a day of receiving. Let it be a day of salvation. Let this day be a day of blessing. We decree and declare it by faith. It is so. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk with you for a few minutes on the subject titled The Next Level of Faith. That ought to let you know faith has levels. And my assignment this morning is to help you and me to go to the next level. In other words, my assignment is to help you and me to increase our faith and our belief in God. We're going to walk through the Bible this morning because I don't want it to be my opinion or my idea. Thank God you can read, and thank God you're very smart people. So I encourage you to read. Our media ministry will put the scripture on the screen for you. I've done the homework, make it easy. All you want to do is to make sure that what I am telling you is in the Word of God. This is one church that take pride in being a word church. Amen. All minds clear? Please make sure what I'm telling you is in the Word. The goal is to increase your faith, to increase my faith, so that we all stay blessed. Why is that important, that we increase our faith? My brothers, my sisters, if you stay too long in the same place, life will pass you by. Are you listening to your pastor this morning? If you're not moving forward, it means you're moving backward. Because other people around you are moving. So it is very important that you don't take today's session very lightly. God sent me to take you to a new level in faith. And if it was not necessary, he would not have sent me. So touch somebody next to you and say, new level. Say it again. New level. So, the time of begging preachers to come to your house to pray for you is almost over. There's something we call the priesthood of every believer. You want to mature to the level that when the devil mess with you, you give him a sucker punch and then call the preacher to rejoice with you. So you're not made to be begging and say, Pastor, I'm in trouble. Please come. Hurry up. Hurry up. Before the preacher gets there, you ought to knock him out. And then when I come, it will be testimony. And say, Pastor, thank you for teaching me the word. The devil came, messed with my child. I'd knock him out. I'd sucker punch him. I say, amen, hallelujah. So we need to move up in our faith. The problem right now with many of us in the body of Christ is that most of us believe that God is able. And that's a good thing because many people they have not even reached that level. They don't know that God is able. But I can say with confidence, most people in this church, because I know what we've been teaching you, most of you believe that God is able. But there is another level that you need to know that you are able. Many people are not there. Ladies and gentlemen, when you move to a level that you know you are able to do things, then you see manifestation of his glory more in your life. All right? In the passage I just read to your hearing, permit me to give you a background that led to Jesus making those statements. One day, Jesus was minding his own business along with his disciples, and here come a man. This man showed up, and he kneeled down before Jesus Christ. And I can imagine the disciples say, "Hey, what's up? What's your problem?" The man said, "Lord, have mercy on my son." Now, everybody is now wondering, what is he talking about? What about your son? What is the diagnosis of the doctors concerning your son? He said, the problem is that my son is crazy. Some of you can identify with that. Some of you have children that have gone crazy. Don't look at your neighbor now. Some of you have spouse that you know, Brother Baba, is losing his mind. And some of you have wife. You see how real the Bible is? In the Bible, the word they use to describe somebody who is wacko is lunatics. So if you read the word of God, Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, that's exactly what that man said. Then, of course, those disciples, they're like deacons. They're going to question you. Jesus is sitting there listening, but them deacons are going to ask you, how you know he's crazy? You see? I thank God for the ministry of deacons. We need them. They're not always in the spirit. But they are much needed. They use their senses. How are you going to come to us and say, your son is crazy? What are the symptoms? So that makes sense. And then he began to describe the symptom. He said, he's vexed in his spirit. He says sometimes he get agitated, he jumps in the fire. He said, Brother Deacons, sometimes when he is really agitated, he jumps in the water. How would you like somebody who jumps in the swimming pool and can't swim? So now Jesus spoke, told the deacon, okay, you're up. Thank you, sir. Then Jesus said, go bring him. That's a sermon by itself. Bring who? Bring the lunatic. Bring the one who is vexed in spirit. Bring the one that can't even hold his peace, is jumping in water, is jumping in fire. Bring him. Y'all don't hear me? Jesus is saying, the man with lunatic, bring him to. The man with fake spirit, bring him. The ones who have lost it to the point that is falling and jumping in water, jumping in the pool, jumping in the fire, bring him. Bring him for what? You bring him so that the person can be delivered. Part of the tragedy of the churches today is that you come to church, but you bring nobody. But God is saying, if you have somebody, you live with him, you know the symptom, you've seen the symptoms. The question is, when are you going to bring that person to Jesus? I don't know about you. I don't know too many churches in Central Louisiana where the pastor say next Sunday is going to be lunatic day. I've been here about 30-something years. I've never heard of any single church. You all are busy having programs. I mean, can you imagine if Joshua Joy Dara says on television, next Sunday at Zion Hill is going to be the crazy folks' day. All the wackos in town, bring them. All the lunatics, you'll be amazed. Many of you show up today, you won't show up. That's how much the churches, we have missed the mark. Matthew chapter 17, verse 18, the Bible says they brought that young man to Jesus. Jesus rebuked the bad spirit in him, and the young man was made whole instantly. Listen, church, if we can no more cure the sick, we need to shut down the church and close the door. I don't know about you. I'm tired of just having church programs. If all you want is nice program, you might as well find a fraternity or sorority or some kind of social organization. They are good at doing programs. If the church can no more pray for the sick and see the sick recover, if the church is no more welcoming to those who are not churchy, to those who are hungry, who are hurting, who are in pain, who are going through psychosis, then every church ought to shut down and close their door. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 says something amazing. The deacons with him, they call them disciples. Now they ask the pastor, Reverend Jesus, why is it that we couldn't do it? See, that tell you something. That man, before he came to Jesus, he had gone to the deacons. You know, sometimes the pastor gets busy. And you have many deacons, so you can easily grab one. You have many deaconesses, you can easily grab one. But he brought his son to these folks, and they couldn't help him. Try to help somebody today. So that is why in verse 19, Matthew 17, these disciples, they were humble enough to say, wait a minute, where do we miss it? Why can't we help him? And then you look at the next verse, Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Jesus responded. Jesus said, it's not because you didn't come to church. It's not because you did not pay your tithes. It's not because you didn't show up for choir rehearsal. It's not because you didn't attend Sunday school or church school or BTU, WMU. Guess what he told them? He said, it's because of what? Because of what? Until you pass this level, you will not see much miracles in your life. Make sure you can read. Make sure your God is telling you and me today the secret for low level of functioning as a Christian. Jesus told them the reason why you cannot work any miracle in your life is because of your unbelief. Keep in mind, how many deacons, how many disciples? 12 disciples, only one demon. And the 12 of them cannot stand one demon. Why? Because of their unbelief. Then Jesus says something else. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, make sure it's in your Bible, then you can say to the mountains, be removed and be cast into the sea. He said, it shall be done. Then Jesus said, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. See, I finally got to the scripture I read to your hearing. How much is nothing? You see, I didn't write the book. I'm just a mailman delivering the message. Jesus said, I wish I have some mustard seed, because many of you, you're not from the country. You never seen no seed. But some of us who come from village, who come from the jungle, we know how small mustard seed is. Very, very tiny. Jesus said, that's all you need. If you have faith, the size of that tiny little seed, you can command any mountain in your life. Be moved. And it shall be done. Then Jesus said, in case you don't know, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what I'm trying to tell to you? There's one problem in the questions by those deacons. Notice, this is where being a theologian comes handy. I was reading the story and I noticed one problem. They asked the question, why can't we do it? Let me go on record to tell you, the business of faith is not about we. The business of faith is about you. The day you get hold of that revelation, your life will never be the same again. Notice again, he said, if you. He didn't say, if we. If you have faith the size of the mustard seed, you, not your club, not your board, not your members, you shall speak to the mountain, and the mountain will be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to who? You. The subject of faith is personal. I love my wife. I love my children. But they cannot stand for me when it comes to faith. I repeat, the business of faith is not about we. It's about you. Right now, put your hand on your chest. And say, Jesus is telling me, nothing shall be impossible to me. Say, you're speaking to your own spirit now. And say, Jesus is telling me, if I have faith, nothing shall be impossible to me. Now look at somebody next to you and say, neighbor, Jesus told me to tell you, if you have faith, nothing, underline that word, nothing shall be impossible to you. If you don't hear anything else, receive that. Just ask yourself this question. Is there anything going on in your life right now that you think is impossible? That's why I say, don't just take the preacher word. You are smart. You can read. Have you any river that you think are impossible? Have you any mountain that you think you can channel through God specializes in things that are impossible, and he can do what no other power, Holy Ghost power, can do. The Bible is so simple. Our problem, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible to you. And the only problem is your unbelief. What is the message? There is no mountain too high. There is no valley too low. I always tell people, follow me as I follow Christ. I am just an ordinary human being just like you. The reason why you see miracles after miracles in the third world is because you all came, brought the gospel to us, and we have enough sense to just believe. See, so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Are you listening to me this morning? You got to get to the point that God said something, you grab hold of it, don't wait on the rest of the church. It's about you and your faith before God. Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Again, we see in the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 17. A man came to Jesus. He said, Master, I brought my son to your deacons. Make sure it's in your Bible. Can you read? I brought my son to your deaconess. They all dress good. They look good. They always fix their hair before they come to church. Look good. But they couldn't help my child. Make sure it's in your Bible. Then the deacons asked the question again. I love deacons. They help me to think. Because I'm a man of faith. Once I hear from God, I want to run. God put deacons in. Pastor, what about this? What about that? That's ministry is necessary. They asked the man, they said, what is the diagnosis of your son? Don't just conclude your son is sick. There may be nothing wrong with your son. He said, I know my son is not right. He has a dumb spirit. Make sure you can read it in your Bible. Then he talks about the symptoms. Mark chapter 9, verse 18. He said that dumb spirit would tear him down from time to time. He gets so bad sometimes he'd be foaming in the mouth. Can you all read? Make sure it's in your Bible. Those are symptoms. He says sometimes he'd be so messed up, he'd be gnashing his teeth. You ever see anybody like that? Make sure it's in your Bible. He said the spirit, the dumb spirit is so tormenting to his child that that spirit would pin him down. He couldn't move. Then notice what he said. I brought him to your disciples, your deacons, your deaconesses. They couldn't help him. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 19. Jesus answered, you faithless generation, how long do I have to be with you? Guess what he asked them to do? Bring him to me. Jesus have never changed his MO. Everywhere you see him, wherever there is problem, he said, bring him. Let me tell those of you who wants to be rich. I know I've been accused of being a prosperity preacher. It don't bother me one bit. I left Africa. I'm running from poverty. So if you call me prosperity, yes, I'm guilty. If you're looking for a church for the poor, you're in the wrong church. I don't know why anybody will wake up and say, I want my family to be poor. I want my son, my daughter, everybody to be living raggedy. The devil is a lie. One secret for becoming rich is very simple. When you see problem, don't run away. Run to it. People that are rich are people that solve problems. The problem with many of us, every time we hear about a problem, we run. Brother Talbot, you are an officer. If there's a shooting, you don't run away from it. You run towards it. It don't take much to be wealthy. It don't take much to be blessed. Every time you see Jesus Christ, whenever there's a problem, and everybody's trying to run, he said, bring him to me. Because he understands a problem solver is the one who is rewarded. Now you see why God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Now at the name of Jesus, every knee because he spent his whole life not running from issues, not running from problems, but confronting. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 say how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all, not few, all those who are oppressed by the devil. The Lord was with him. So every time you tell me I'm struggling, I know exactly what your problem is. Amen. Find your problem. Go locate it, solve the problem, and watch your life blessed. Money will be chasing you. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus answered, "Bring him to me." Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 20. They brought the young man to Jesus Christ. And right in front of Jesus, that dumb spirit began to manifest. Make sure you read it. Mark chapter 9, verse 20. Guess what happened? Right in front of Jesus Christ, that spirit teared that young man down. He collapsed. He fell to the ground, the Bible say. And the Bible say, sure enough, he began to foam in his mouth. That's what the devil is doing to our young people. While we are singing Kumbaya in the house of God, the devil is having a field day. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 22. Next verse. The father testifies, say, at times, because in verse 21, Mark chapter 9, verse 21, Jesus asked the question, "Sir, how long has this been going on?" I can stop there and preach to you today. How long have you been allowing the devil to mess with you? How long has the devil been messing with your children? How long has the devil been messing with your marriage, with your family? How long? The man said, "This has been going on since childhood." Make sure you read. It's in your Bible. From childhood. He's been dealing with that. Can you imagine raising a child from childhood? He's falling down and screaming and shaking and foaming in the mouth. Uncontrollable. Ladies and gentlemen, look at what Jesus said. Before I tell you what Jesus said, the man testified in verse 22. He said, at times, this dumb spirit will cast this child in fire. Then the man has enough sense to know that devil spirit is trying to destroy his son. Then notice what he said. "Lord, if you can do anything, please help us." Then comes to my favorite verse in the world. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. One day when I leave this planet Earth, if somebody asks you, "What can you tell us about your pastor?" This is my favorite scripture. I told you 29 years ago, I'm still repeating myself. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to that man, "If you can believe," make sure it's in your Bible. Did he say a few things? Did he say every now and then? He said, "All things are possible to them that believe." Yes, you know God can do things, but when are you going to grab hold of what you can do by faith? What is my message to you? There is power in your belief. I don't come here to tickle you. I don't come here to shake you or scare you. I come here to wake the giant in you. Every child of God is given this seed of faith. But you have to develop it. You and me have to develop our faith. What is the reason why you want something but it's not happening? Unbelief. Not because you're not a Christian. Not because you didn't pay your tithe. Not because you didn't attend the rehearsal. Amen. You can do all of that. The real problem is unbelief. Jesus said what is missing is our unbelief. But if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Ladies and gentlemen, ask yourself the question, why am I going down when everybody is going up? I just told you. Unbelief. Why is it that I don't have money when I need money? God knows you need money. 1,000 cattle on the hill belongs to the Lord. He created the whole world. Your father is not broke. Why are you living in lack? He just told you. Unbelief. Let me put it in plain English. God said to me one day, build this building right here. We were debating among ourselves. A lot of our people say, no, let's just stay where we are. Let's cut the side and expand that little church, expand both sides. But God made it very clear. You're going to build a building that will cost millions of dollars. I told my wife about it. She said, you better check with God again. She's sitting there. The Lord spoke to me and said, if you can believe. It's the same thing I'm sharing with you today. Are you listening to me? If you can believe, all things are possible. Unfortunately, I didn't get it. The first thing I tried to do is to check our bank account. My head deacon, such a faithful brother, I said, tell me how much we got. He said, this is it. I knew I'm in trouble. Yeah. We're trying to build a building that will cost millions. Amen. And we only have a few $1,000 in the account. In fact, our whole year budget, brother pastor, is $84,000. The whole year money cannot build. But God kept telling me what I'm preaching to you. If you can believe. If you can believe. I have to confront the same thing I'm teaching you today. We went to a bank called Habania. I don't know where they are nowadays. They said, no, we're not going to give you millions of dollars when you only have $84,000 for your whole year. The math don't add up. Then we went to a bank called Evangeline. God is my witness. Some of those deacons are still alive. Talk to Willie Jackson. He was there with me at the meeting. We finally found a bank, Evangeline, that says, we will help you, but we will only give you $700,000. We never give $1 million to any Negro church. But God said, if you can believe, In case you don't know, the project is completed and it costs millions. Are you listening to me? Not even 1 million. This project costs 2.8 million. That's not even adding what's inside the building. If you can believe. Listen, church, I'm trying to help you go beyond where you are now and begin to see the power of God in your life. In case you don't know, some of those members are here. We broke the ground with no money. You are either stupid to do that or you know something. Are you listening to me? You were there. Many of you were there. We broke ground with no money. If you can believe, the project got completed by faith. The Lord spoke to me again. We're going to build Family Life Center. He said, you ready? He gave me five phases. I told my deacons about it. He said, it's time for phase two. I'm tired from phase one. This time it will cost not 2 million, 5 million. Are you listening to me? It takes faith, my sister. It takes faith. You're not going to make it being a church boy or being a church girl or being a church mother or a church father. It takes faith. Without faith, you can't even please God. Then thank God for my deacons. They're either all dumb or they have men and women of faith. They said, Pastor, we're with you. Then we started to build. And then we ran out of money. We ran out. The bank said, your option is only one. Just finish level one. We told you you couldn't afford two stories. Shell level two, just cover it with some wood. And then about 3 or 4 years, you'll be able to raise more money, and then you can come back to revisit. Oh, I wish I can tell you so many projects in your town right now. I can literally name them. Incomplete. Bordered with woods. I wish I can tell you how many churches have been working on construction projects since 1902. Building fund. Hey, don't turn me off. Those deacons stood by me. I guess they know I'm crazy or something. I told them, no, Mr. Banker, we're not going to stop this project. We're not going to put shell on any floor. God is Alpha and Omega. God is the beginning and the end. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, he who started the good work in you, he is able to finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. We keep on believing God. If you look around now, that project completed. How? It takes faith. It takes faith. One day my wife came to me and said, you look tired. Are you worried about something? I said, Mom, yes, I am worried. So what are you worried about? I told Miss Elizabeth, I said, look, we are out of money. The project is incomplete. And the bank said, there's no more help. Elizabeth, God spoke through to her to me. She told me, she said, What project have you done in your life that you have enough money? Now, it sounds insulting, but it's in your face truth. Then I look back over my life. They have enough money to buy a car. They have enough money to go to school. They have enough money to buy a house. They have enough money for nothing. But I didn't know the sister had been taking record. It reminds me, you never had enough. All you had was God. He said, the same God who helped you in the past. That same God is still on the throne. I grab hold of that word. I encourage myself in the Lord. Before you realize it, the project got completed. Are you listening to me? The Lord says, time for phase three. There are five phases. He said, this time, build something for the young people. Again, the same problem. We had no money. That's right, Brother Deacon. We had no money. In case you don't know, I was talking to my secretary last night. I said, when did we do the groundbreaking of the youth building? I called Deacon Beauregard. I asked him the same thing. Because I don't remember. So Minister Covid, my secretary, said, let me go and check the record. Mama, you were there making a speech. That was 2022. We broke ground. We had no money. And all of you, you're either all crazy like me or you know something about God. You went with me out there. You wear the hat. I still got the pictures. And there's been no building. 2022, no building. We even shuffled the ground. We even tied our side, new project. Nothing happened 2022. Nothing happened 2023. Nothing happened 2024. Now we're in 2025. Just this week, I got a letter of commitment saying you can proceed. It takes faith. You know one thing I know, because I know there are some Pharisees and Sadducees. You think they're all dead, but their grandchildren are still alive. So when I got the letter from the bank, says, we got you completely. I sent a copy of the letter to the head deaconess. She's sitting right there. So you don't have to take my word. I sent a copy of the letter to the head deacon. My chairman said, wow. Pastor, you did it again. I said, no, I don't do nothing. I don't even know what I'm doing. I didn't say that. I said, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. It takes faith. If you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Some of you have to pray. Some of you have to anoint with oil. Some of you have to fast. That's what it takes to win. I want you to take the same principle. Take it and apply it in your personal life. It's not about we, it's about you. If you can believe. Let me say this in conclusion. Open your Bible to the book of Mark, I promise. Chapter 11, verse 21. Let me tell you the background. Jesus was passing by a few days. He got